Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening and for what was accomplished. We thank you for the fellowship, the true fellowship, the good, sweet fellowship we had tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'll just now, as we look at your word, help me to rightly divide the word of truth. May we learn things from your word. May we be challenged, Lord, in accordance to your word, with your Holy Spirit living inside of us. And Lord, again, just take control. And Lord, of this message, fill me with your spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of my favorite things in life is music. It really is. I can't play an instrument. I tell people, when people, I play the piano, they might say, well, I play football. I played football. I play the radio, you know. but I really do, even though I'm not that musically inclined, I do really enjoy music. And can you think what life would be without music? Now, I'm talking about good gospel music, you know. I'm not talking about the world's music. They really don't have a message other than how miserable they are typically. But God's music can say what we got in Jesus. And so I enjoy singing gospel music. One of my I don't know if you call it bucket list today. That's a fairly new term. I mean, it didn't go back all the way when I was young. But I wanted to be part of a quartet. And I wanted to be a part of a quartet that traveled around and sang. Now, my home church, we had a quartet, and we sang at our church. We may have sang at a church of two around. Back in Connecticut, when I was in a quartet up there, and as far as I know, we just sang for a little while there in the church. And then, of course, now I'm part of a trio, the Delay Trio. But I really enjoy. I wanted to be part of the Statler Brothers, and then they went and retired. And you know, I just enjoy their style of music, the harmony and all that. And I wanted to be part of a gospel group, but it must not have been in the plans for me. I enjoy music. We're going to talk about a little bit tonight that music that's always been a big part of my life, and the music that's probably been a big part of your life. What role should singing to the Lord play in our lives? And you know, the next two Sundays, if I got my time frame right, the next two Sundays we're going to be caroling, phone caroling, and we need every single soul out. And we'll be singing, what, Wednesday? What did I say?
Sunday.
Oh, Sunday. Yeah, we're not having church Sunday. We're singing. No, sorry. I'm glad you corrected me. The next two Wednesdays, we're going to be singing. And God led me to talk about singing tonight. And so we're going to, the title of the lesson, the sermon tonight, Singing to the Lord, Singing to the Lord. And this isn't so much like, it's not addressing the type of music that we should listen to or sing. I hope that some of you have some good discernment about that. And I will say briefly, Christian music to me, the message has to be clear to everyone, okay? Or to me, it's not Christian music. Secondly, the music has to glorify God. If it's not glorifying God, if it's glorifying the person singing more than it is God, to me, it's not really Christian. And then thirdly, the doctrine has to be right. And if they're singing things that doctrinally are not correct, it's not. So it has to meet all three criteria for me to even put it in the category of Christian music. But really, the title and the content of this is not for us to discern the type of music we should sing, but more, what's the purpose behind singing? How important is it for us to sing to God? I found out that we're going to be looking at the book of Psalms, okay? The book of Psalms, which is the hymn book for the Hebrews, for the children of Israel. And listen, the word sing, sings, plural, singing, song, and songs, plural, occur 121 times in the book of Psalms. Those words in the English KJV occur 121 times. Now, in the whole Bible, those words appear 247 times. I don't know. I mean, you know, you'll not be tested on that or anything, but I think it kind of does show to us that that singing is important. Singing is important. Now, point number one under singing to the Lord. Singing to the Lord is commanded. Singing to the Lord is commanded. I found 26 times in the book of Psalms where we are commanded to sing to the Lord. It just says, sing to the Lord. And we're going to look at just a kind of smattering of that. We're not going to look at all 26. But first of all, Psalm 30 and verse 4. Listen to what it says. Sing unto the Lord. Just commands us, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his. Are we saints? Some of it's kind of hard to figure out, but yeah, you're saints if you know Jesus as your Savior. But and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. So there's a command. So we're commanded to sing to the Lord. Psalm 47 and verse 6. It says, sing praises to God. Now, it doesn't say if you want to. It says, you know that word, want to, if you want to. It says, sing praises to God. This spills it right out there. Sing praises. It says again, command, sing praises unto our God. Sing praises. So, do you think the point is we should sing? I think so. Psalm 68, verse 32. It says, here it is, sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth, O sing praises unto the Lord. Selah. Pause. Think about that. What I want you to think about under that point is we are really commanded. We're children of God. In the New Testament, we have trusted Jesus. If anybody should sing to the Lord, it should be us. It's commanded. Psalm 147, verse 7. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Excuse me. Sing praises upon the harp unto our God. It doesn't say if you want to. It doesn't say when you're in the mood to. It just simply says, sing unto the Lord. Now, don't you think that a lot of times if we don't have the want to, if we get into it and we sing anyway, that the want to kind of follows along? You know what I mean? And it says upon the harp, and again, this is not a huge sermon on music and all that as far as the type of music, but it is okay to sing with instruments. Now, I know Church of Christ in particular, certain branch of the Church of Christ at least. I know you can't generalize sometimes because every church is a little bit different, but they believe in no musical instruments at all. And I don't know, to me they're kind of missing a lot. And they're missing a lot of scripture because it mentions a bunch of instruments in the book of Psalms. And the book of Psalms is the hymn book. I mean, you'd think they'd kind of connect the dots. And I'm not being overly critical. I mean, there's nothing wrong with our voices. But it's okay to sing with instruments. Psalm 149, verse 1. It says, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song. And his praise, notice this, this is kind of interesting to me, in the congregation of saints. Wow. We gather together as a congregation of saints, right? Those that know Jesus, at least the folks who have trusted Jesus, we gather together as a congregation. So that's the perfect time to sing. And it says a new song. You know, there's a lot of good Christian music that's still being written. I mean, just don't think that the hymn book ended it. Now, there's a lot of music that, again, I wouldn't consider Christian. I don't think it's the best. I think a good thing, if it's not the best thing, is a bad thing. So I think, but there are, if you allow me to use it, there are hymns that are being written today, new hymns. You know, some of the songs that maybe Ben Everson sang at the revival, things like that. Some of the songs like that and others, there's hymns being written. So there's nothing wrong with new as long as it is Christian and is where God wants it to be. Does that make sense? I'd say a whole lot more if that was the purpose of this sermon, but it's not. So singing to the Lord is commanded. Singing to the Lord is commanded. So really, you know, I've heard people say, I just don't sing because I just can't carry a tune. I can't carry a tune in a suitcase. It's just, well, God still wants you to give it a shot. Really, he does. And he knows exactly your abilities. Isn't our responsibility to live up to our abilities, to do what God tells us to do, even if we're not the best singer in the world? Just sing out. Amen? Somebody looking back. Preacher, if you knew who I'm sitting next to right now, you wouldn't be telling them to sing out. I read your mind, didn't I? No. So first of all, singing to the Lord is commanded. Is commanded. Secondly, singing to the Lord is a choice. Is a choice. 23 times in the book of Psalms, I counted, It either says, I will sing or will I sing? I mean, not a question mark, but, you know, they just turn that around. So basically 23 times the psalmist says, I'm going to sing. You know, no one, we don't check you back here at the door when you come in, and we have, you know, our ushers back here saying, are you going to sing? No. Well, then you're not welcome. Hit the door. I mean, we don't make people sing. But let me tell you, and I understand that sometimes you know, people say, preacher, are you talking to me? I had a cold last Sunday. I didn't say, no, it has nothing to do with it. The Lord understands that. And it's not a criteria, but it is a choice. It is a choice. And the psalmist, I said 23 times, and I made up my mind that I'm going to sing. I hate when I can't sing. You know, sometimes when my throat's a little messed up or something, and I know I got to preach here in a little bit, very rarely, but occasionally I'll just kind of hold back, and I hate it. I'm like, man, I want to sing. I can't sing because I'm afraid I'll take what voice I got left. Psalm 9, verse 2 is an example where the psalmist says, I will sing, or will I sing? It says, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. That's a good choice too, don't you think? You know, rejoicing and having joy is a choice. Now, I know there's things that can drag that out of us, but it says, I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Psalm 57 and verse 7. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Do you know what I think it's saying there? I think he's saying, I've made up my mind and my heart that I'm going to sing. And that's good. That's good. I will sing and give praise. One more, Psalm 59, verse 16. But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. How many of you would rather do about anything than sing in the morning? You say, preacher, I just got to wake up first. I remember, I think it was a 7-Eleven commercial. I enjoyed it. It was some convenience store-like, and they sold coffee. And this guy came, he got in his car. He was a werewolf. You know, he's driving, and he says, you know, people just need their morning coffee. So he's like a, you know, werewolf, and he goes in and gets him a cup of coffee and drinks it. He becomes a human again. So maybe you're like that. I don't know. I don't believe in werewolves. But, you know, I always thought that was a funny commercial. And some people are like that, man. Don't talk to me until I've had a cup of coffee or a cup of tea or whatever. But the psalmist says, I'm going to sing in the morning. I will. I make the choice that I'm going to sing. How many of you sing in the shower? All right, how many of you shower? All right, well, that's good. Every once in a while. All right, well, once a month's good enough. One, singing to the Lord is commanded. Number two, singing to the Lord is a choice. Number three, singing to the Lord is a form of praise. Singing to the Lord is a form of praise. I found this interesting. Sing praise, or sing praises, is mentioned 25 times in this book. Those two are connected. Sing praise or sing praises. Here's a smattering of those, just four. Psalm 18, 49. Notice what it says. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. 108, verse 3. It says, I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. Wow. You know, if they'd hear us sing and really get into it, even the world would see how good our God is. They might say, you can't carry a tune. Oh, I'm glad you didn't make it big time nationally in your singing contract, but I see joy there when you sing. Two more. Psalm 7:17. It says, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. And then Psalm 138, verse 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. Notice that little G God. You know, there's a whole lot of little G gods in this world. And the psalmist says, in spite of those little G gods that can't talk, can't hear, can't speak, can't what's the word I'm looking for? Can't think, can't process. I'm thankful that the psalmist says, in spite of that, I'm going to sing praise. Now think about that for a moment. When we're singing in church, or when you're singing in the shower, or when you're singing driving down the road and you're singing a good godly song, you're singing it to God. What are you doing? You're praising God. I mean, isn't that big? Isn't that good? That God gives us the opportunity. And He wants to hear me praise His name in song. You know, it's not just a little thing. You say, well, you got to fill time in church, so let's just sing His song. You know, no, it's a very valuable part of our praise and worship of God. And when we sing together and make beautiful music together, we heard a choir. We went to Southwide. We went to a pastor's conference called Southwide Baptist Fellowship. And we went down there. It's just a bunch of preachers get together. It's not churches that are linked arms, but just preachers. Anybody's welcome to come. And we went down there. They brought the choir from Crown College. Is that right? And they said, how many was in that choir, Ryan? Do you remember? 290 people. They got up. I mean, the church, there wasn't place for them to sit down. So they had to sing pretty much at the front of the service or else stand the whole service. So they got up there and sang. They drove for several hours to get there. And you talk about, man, it was loud. And we've been part of a church in Chattanooga. We went to church of 3,000 or 4,000. And boy, I mean, that was loud. I went to a men's conference rally, like in a stadium one time, and we were singing to God. It's like, man, that was loud. I mean, that's good. We're praising the God of this world, the God who is over everything, the God who created everything in this world, right? So think about it next time we sing, even as a church, or next time you sing, and just think of it like, wow, I'm praising God when I do this, when you're singing those good old gospel songs. Singing to the Lord. First of all, singing to the Lord is commanded. Number two, singing to the Lord is a choice. Third, singing to the Lord is a form of praise. Number four, singing to the Lord is for many reasons. You say, well, why should I sing to the Lord? Well, there's a bunch of verses, and I had to limit my, I got a bunch of them right here that I'll just kind of hit real quick. Ryan, I'm not going to pop them even all up. I'm just going to kind of summarize what they say. But why do we sing? Why do we sing? And this is not an exhaustive list. I mean, why should we sing? Why should we sing praise? Why should we even open our mouth to the God of the universe? Well, Psalm 7:17 talks about singing to His name, because of His name. And you know what it means when we praise His name? It means the very character and quality of God. That's a good reason to praise God, don't you think? Psalm 13 and verse 6, because He hath dealt, it says, quote, bountifully with me. He just didn't give us a little bit. He gave us a bunch. Isn't that good? Psalm 21 verse 13, it says, I'm going to sing praise, sing to Him because of His power. Is anybody more powerful than God? Do you think that's a good reason to sing praise to Him? Psalm 30 verse 4, we sing to Him because of His holiness. Holiness. You know, there's no one more holy, set apart, different, high above all others than our God. Psalm 47, verse 7, because He is the King of all the earth. King. That talks about authority, doesn't it? Psalm 59 and verse 17, because He is my defense and the God of my mercy. He defends me. I'm a child of God. God takes up for me. There's nobody better to have on your side than God, right? Doesn't the Bible say, if God be for me, who can be against me? Or if God be for us, who can be against us? It says, He's the God of my mercy. That was kind of interesting. It had my mercy. You know, I personally need mercy, and God gives me mercy, so I can claim it as my mercy, and that's a reason to sing to God. Psalm 71, verse 22, it says, to sing because of thy truth and holiness again, because of thy truth. You know, there's a lot of things in this world you can't trust. You figured that out? You know you're in trouble when someone from the government shows up and says, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help you. right? You know you're in trouble right off the bat. But I'm thankful. Now I didn't group everything into that, but I'm saying, guys, it's kind of a joke. But you know, there's certain things you can't trust, right? Hello, certain things you can't trust. Is that a true statement? But I'm thankful that we can sing praise to God because of His truth, because of who He is. Everything He says is true. Everything He's written is true. Everything that He's promised is true. And so when I sing, "How Great Thou Art," I can sing it with enthusiasm because I'm praising God for His truth. Psalm 71, verse 23, the next verse. Why should we sing? "Because my soul, which Thou hast redeemed." Redeemed. Notice it says, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing. You know, singing is connected with joy. It really is. And if your joy is lagging behind, start singing. Maybe your joy will catch up to your words that you're praising God with, right? And it says, "When I sing unto thee and my soul, which thou hast redeemed." Do you know what He redeemed or bought us back from? Death, hell, and the grave. I mean, when we die and they put us in a wood box, doesn't matter how fancy the box is, we're not there anyway. They can put us in 10 different vaults if they want to, but it really doesn't matter because we're not there anyway. Right? It's because we've been redeemed. We've been bought back. We've been bought out of death, hell, and the grave. And when we breathe our last, we're with the King of Glory. How about Psalm 77, verse 6? It says, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations." That's not the right one. Okay. You didn't follow my errors on the diagram, did you? It says, "I call to remembrance my song in the night." I call to remember my song in the night. Now, I talked about singing in the morning. Now, let's talk about singing at night. "I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search." You know what I put down here? We sing because He's the only one available sometimes. I mean, really, have you ever found yourself in the middle of the night and maybe something's bothering you and everybody else is asleep? Now, this is not like a fallback plan. This is the best place to go in the first place. But just start singing praise to God. I mean, you don't have to shout it out real loud and wake everybody in the house up, but, you know, sing it kind of quiet-like. But you're praising God for who He is, right? How about Psalm 89:1? Why do we sing? Because of the mercies of the Lord. Mercies of the Lord, plural. Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2, because of His loving kindness and His faithfulness. Psalm 95, verse 1, because He is the rock of our salvation. The rock. He's the foundation of our salvation. Psalm 98, verse 1, why do we sing? Because He hath done marvelous things. Notice, hath gotten Him the victory too. He's got the victory. He won the game. When Jesus died upon the cross and conquered death, He won the game. Victory. I can surely sing because of that, right? It doesn't matter if we never won a sports game our whole life. It doesn't matter if we were the last one picked for every team that was ever picked in at middle school, high school, elementary school. It didn't matter. We're still victors. We still have the victory because of what Jesus did for us. Psalm 101, verse 1, because of mercy and judgment. You know, sometimes we look around at the world and we say, that's not fair. Do we ever think that? Or maybe say it, that's not fair. That's not fair. That's not fair. How the world's getting ahead and we seem to be falling behind as Christians sometimes, that's not fair. Guess what? We can praise God, sing praises to Him because He's the perfect judge. And His judgments will be perfect. He is a just God. Sometimes I just take great satisfaction in knowing that God is the perfect scorekeeper. Amen. Psalm 135, verse 3, because the Lord is good, we sing praises. Psalm 138, verse 5, because great is the glory of the Lord. Psalm 145, verse 7, because of thy righteousness. There's not one little bit of shadow of evil in God. He's all righteous. Psalm 147, verse 7, because we are thankful, we sing. You know, sometimes the reason we don't sing is because maybe we're not as thankful as we should be. This is going to get Ryan all mixed up here because I didn't follow my arrows either. Psalm 77, verse 6. Because no one else, I looked at that one. I did look at that one, sorry. And the last one, Psalm 118, verse 14. Because the Lord is my, I like this one. Psalm 118, verse 14. Notice what it says. This one kind of caught my eye. The Lord is my strength and song. And it's become my salvation. You know, it's not just that we're singing to Him. He is the reason I sing. He is my song. Isn't that cool? Amen. Singing to the Lord. Singing to the Lord is commanded. It's a choice. It's a form of praise. Singing to the Lord is for many reasons. And that was a bunch of them, but that's not even an exhaustive list. Number five, singing to the Lord is a good thing. Listen to this. Psalm 92, verses 1 to 2. It says, the Lord is my, it is a good thing to give thanks. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It's a good thing. And to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Notice Psalm 135, verse 3. It's not only a good thing. It says, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. You know, if you're really singing from your heart and praising God as you sing, it's pleasant. It's pleasant to those around you, even if you can't carry a tune. It's pleasant to yourself. And you're like, man, this is good. I'm really getting into this. I'm praising God. And guess who else it's pleasant to? God himself. He's up there. That's good. That's good. Wasn't it Andy Griffith that ate the Ritz crackers and said, good. Didn't he say that? Well, when God hears us sing, it's good. It's pleasant. Psalm 147, verse 1. This one, it uses three terms to describe it when we sing. Praise ye the Lord, it's good to sing praises unto our God. It's good, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. So, man, it's all good. when you sing to God, it's all good. Singing to the Lord, almost finished. Singing to the Lord is commanded. Singing to the Lord is a choice. Singing to the Lord is a form of praise. Singing to the Lord is for many reasons. Number five, singing to the Lord is a good thing. And lastly, singing to the Lord is a forever activity. Amen. Singing to the Lord is a forever activity. Now, there's a couple of verses that say, as long as I live, I'm going to sing. So, Psalm 104, verse 33, it says, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. It's a pretty good resolve, don't you think? Psalm 146, verse 2, it says, while I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. So this is kind of interesting to me. You know, when we go to the nursing home, and I know you've noticed this among people too, and I remember with your mom too, dementia had so taken her brain. And it really wasn't her there anymore. And I suspect the same thing about a lot of these people in the nursing home. And they're really not themselves at all. But they remember when they used to sing these songs. And when I read these verses, you know, as long as I live, I'll sing. Now, I'm convinced a lot of these people, I know Amy's mom had, she had trusted Jesus, and I'm sure a lot of these people in these nursing homes have, and now their mind is not what it used to be, and they can't think right. They may not be able to reason, but when they start hearing songs like we sing during our hymn sing time, they sing along. You know, that's a pretty good testimony to these verses, right? I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. But it doesn't end there. Notice this. We are going to sing to the Lord forever. Psalm 61, verse 8. Notice this. So will I sing praise unto thy name. How long? Forever. That I may daily perform my vows. Look at Psalm 75, verse 9. But I will declare forever I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. Forever going to sing. Psalm 89, verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. How long? Forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. You know, I kind of, isn't that song? I may not get this quite right, but while the ages roll, I'll keep on praising him. and my voice will never tire or grow old. You know, in heaven, you know, when I lead singing sometimes on Sunday morning and then I preach and my voice is kind of getting a little weak sometimes, you know, it happens. In heaven, our voice will never get old. I believe that. Because our voice gets old, because it gets tired, right? And it's overused a bit. Nothing gets tired in heaven. We won't even have to take a nap. Now, maybe he'll let us just out of the pure joy of it, but we won't need it. It will not be a necessity. And the same thing with eating. I really think he'll let us eat out of the pure joy of eating. But, I mean, why would you have a tree that bears 12 different fruits every month if you couldn't eat it, right? So I think it's called the marriage supper of the Lamb, right? So I'm just going to believe that we're going to eat in heaven. We don't want to have to, but we are anyway. But the point is, our voices will not get tired. So forever and ever and ever and ever, we're going to sing praise to God. Isn't that a cool thought? We might as well get warmed up here, right? We might as well give it our best shot here. And I really feel bad for some people. I mean, I'm not saying this condescendingly, because the Lord knows I can definitely hit my bad notes too. But some people, you know, you really, I mean, you know, they're not around very long. You figure out they really cannot sing very well. And sometimes preachers, I'm so thankful that God at least gave me a voice that I can lead singing and stuff. But some preachers, I mean, woo. It's like, oh, they try to lead a song. I'm like, man, they're way off here. And do you know, that won't matter in heaven, because I think every one of us will have a perfect voice. I've been listening to Squire Parsons, you know, good old West Virginia boy from Mason County. He has a song about revival, and Ryan and I heard it on WVGV the other day. Before the revival, and then we kept listening to it on YouTube, like heading toward the revival. That, you know, when we was at Awake 25, we'd listen to it a lot. And I told Ryan, I said, I think he's probably got the best male voice that I've ever heard, Squire Parker. If you not listen to him, listen to him some. He's got a great voice. But guess what? Guess what? We're all going to have perfect voices in heaven. Isn't that cool? When we sing to the Lord, it's important for a lot of reasons. So the next time you sing to the Lord, whether you're on your own, driving down the road, washing dishes, cooking, in the shower, mowing the grass, you know, just fill in the blank. Whenever you in church, next time you sing, will you at least give it some thought about doing it with joy? Will you at least give it some thought about being enthusiastic when you sing? Would you at least give it some thought about doing it with gusto? Can you at least give it some thought about doing it with gratitude? You know, when we Christmas Carol the next two Wednesday nights, you know, I think it'd be great if everybody would just sing out and quit worrying about what other people think about your voice, but just say, you know, my God is so good. I'm just getting warmed up for eternity. I'm going to sing out. Wouldn't that be cool? And someone get, you know, after we carol to them, after phone carol, and they say, yeah, it was really good, but who in the world was that singing off key in the background? wouldn't it be cool to sing with that much enthusiasm? Yeah. You know, so many times, and I'll fess up, a lot of times these songs, I've sung them for so many years, and I know the words. I really probably don't need a hymn book for some of them. I think I do, and for certain verses, I'm sure I do. But we just get in this routine. It's like, amazing. I mean, what if we just really thought, you know, I'm going to pay attention to the words, because I'm singing them to the God of the universe, and I'm going to be doing it forever, so I might as well get pretty good at it while I'm here. And I'm going to sing it with enthusiasm. And when the choir director's up here, whoever it is, or the song leader, it's like, man, you guys are loud today. And that's not normally a problem in our church. I'm not being critical, but I'm telling you, you know, when you're up here, we can't hear a whole lot of what y'all are doing back here. But wouldn't it be something if we all just turned it up a notch and just started singing out with all that we have, because we know that our God is the one only true God. He's worthy of our singing. And when we're singing, we're praising Him. I believe it'd be kind of contagious. Don't you? If you did it, maybe your neighbors say, well, they're going to sing out that loud. I'm going to sing. And it's not a competition. That's kind of bad. Preacher, this one's mad at this one because this one here was trying to sing this one louder than this. No, that's not what I'm saying. But just with enthusiasm. Okay? So if you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a minute. Let me ask you, could you put a little bit more thought into your singing when you sing to God? If so, just ask God. Say, God, help me to put some more thought into it when I do sing, and help me to sing with enthusiasm and gratitude and with gusto and with all my heart because I'm praising You. Would you just offer a prayer simple as that to God? Lord, when I sing, I'm praising You, and help me, Lord, to do my best. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, there could be some people here, there could be some people listening in who's never trusted the Lord as their Savior. You know what? Trust in Jesus as our Savior really gives us a reason to sing. That's the reason we sing. So I'd encourage you, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, it'll give you the joy that you need to actually sing to the Lord. I pray that tonight, if you're listening in and you've never done that, that from your heart you'll ask God to forgive you of your sins in prayer. Say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me as Your Son to pay for my sins and resurrected back to life. And I now confess Jesus as my Savior. If you mean that from your heart, you can have that joy. And I believe with that joy will come a song to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Bible. We thank You for the book of Psalms. The song book, Lord, for the children of Israel. Lord, I pray that we've learned something tonight. I pray that we've been challenged a little bit, Lord, to sing out more and to understand and to pay attention to what we're singing and realize that when we sing, we're actually praising You. And Lord, help us to do a better job of that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.